The reading this morning is in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 to 22, found on page 935. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with the many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them by shutting up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from the heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased."
Thank you, Cheryl. Sermon this morning, more of a sermonette, is Chafing at Chaff. And it's all based on verse 17 of what Cheryl just read. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And I'm here to preach to all of you who chafe at the concept of chaff, because you probably think, like most people do, when we're talking about chaff, we're talking about people who aren't going to get into heaven. Well, I don't think you should think of chaff that way. In fact, I don't think you should think of God and Jesus working that way. It's interesting. I just had reflected back to me, again in the past few weeks, something that's been reflected back to me often, and it's the idea of the slippery slope. And the fact that once you start saying yes to people who shouldn't be allowed as they are into worship, it's a slippery slope. And the response that I give to pastors who say this to me is, it seems to me the slippery slope is when you start telling people they can't go to God. When you start rejecting people, that is the slippery slope. You know, and most often when people quote the Bible about this or that group that should not be part of a congregation, they will quote a few obscure points of the Old Testament and then they'll skip right to Paul and they won't quote anything from the Gospels. And Paul was a blessed, gifted disciple and a great writer and a brilliant theological thinker and a man after God's own heart. But Jesus was God's own heart. And I prefer to go directly to the source, directly to Jesus. So my job is not to decide some people are chaff. And your job isn't that either. But the way we should look at the threshing floor is consider it inside your own heart and mind. And consider the chaff as being that stuff that gets between you and God. You know, what is chaff and wheat? Chaff is the stuff that's no longer useful. It's the stuff that you don't eat. It's the stuff that isn't any good, right? Well, no, not completely true, because it was the chaff that protected that wheat kernel that you're after. And the chaff was useful once in some way or another. It's useful no longer, and it's to be cast aside and burned off. The same thing happens with human beings. We have things that we do, we have tendencies that we have mindsets, we have habits and actions that are useful to us at some point in our lives. And we often will carry those things with us in our life long after they've outlived their usefulness. And Jesus, throughout the Gospels as you read them, is all about getting people to recognize their own chaff. Recognize their attitudes that don't fit with the situation anymore. Recognize their habits that are keeping them from being close to God and living truly blessed lives. Recognizing their own raggedness. Jesus would cut to the heart of the matter time and time again. He would focus not on the woman at his feet about to be stoned to death, but focus at the dark blotch on the soles of all the people holding the stones. He would focus not on the glory and power of the temple, but on that one faithful widow putting all she had into the collection box. Jesus was all about separating the wheat from the chaff in each and every one of us individually. When someone came to Jesus, he didn't have them in a group. He didn't say, oh, you're a Roman centurion, I'll be darned if I'm going to go anywhere near your house or heal your daughter. He didn't say, no, you know, you are an unclean woman because you've been hemorrhaging for all this time. How dare you touch me? He didn't do things like that. He didn't have categories, whole categories of people that he wrote off, but he saw each person as an individual. I read just this morning the wise words of a pastor who said, on something like 9/11, when the towers fall, it does us no good to think of 3,000 people dying. You have to think of one person dying and that happening 3,000 times. You have to think of the individual. You have to think of the person and see into their heart and see the quality inside their heart and go from there. Are their intentions loving? Are their ways honorable? Then they belong in the congregation. Are their intentions not loving? Are their ways dishonorable? Then they belong in the congregation and everybody in between. See, the chaff is in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our very bodies, in the muscle memories of things that are now destructive, that are no longer useful if they ever were, things that we came up with in a moment of chaos or crisis. And if not everybody is in the building, not everybody is going to have the opportunity to learn and grow. We are not dispensers of God here. It is not like God chooses us for a sole distributorship of all that is godly. It is more like this is a place where we come together and express God to the world. That's what's important. That is the kernel inside the blossom. That is what we're about as a church. So, when I read this reading now, I'm filled with dread and delight when I hit that verse 17. Dread because I know some of those things that get in the way of me being a better follower of Jesus. I know some of those obstacles that I set up myself that keep me from being godly at times and doing the right and loving and peaceful thing. I know some of those intentions in myself. And to paraphrase, I believe it was Donald Rumsfeld, I know that I don't know what I don't know. I know there are things in me that aren't quite right that I haven't even discovered yet. That's the dread. The joy comes in seeing that I have a Savior, I have a Messiah who recognizes it as well. And He's going to help me cast that stuff off, identify it and get rid of it and cast it aside. So then I can be all the person I'm going to be. The great mistake we make that has resulted in Christian churches in this country on the decline, the great mistake we make that results in sanctuaries being half full on Sunday morning is we spend too much time looking at the other people and the mote in their eye and not enough time on our own beams, we Christians. The biggest enemy to the Christian church is us Christians. When we try to consider other people as worthy of throwing away, as worthy of burning, the greatest strength that the church has is us Christians. when we work on ourselves and give other people more grace than even we give ourselves, more understanding, more depth of love and care and compassion. So I don't chafe at chaff anymore, except for my own. And when I see chaff in other people, when I'm at my best, when I've had a good night's sleep and a nourishing breakfast and maybe a little aerobic workout, when I take the time to breathe, I know enough to know that there is a deep, inherently valuable, and beautiful kernel inside all of that chaff. And God will see it come to fruition. If that's a slippery slope, I'm sliding all day. Amen.